52 Reading Plan Audio Edition, Day 23. In today's reading, we will cover Luke chapter 22, verse 54, through the end of the chapter, which is Luke 24, verse 53. And also, we'll start John, the Gospel according to John, and we'll look at chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. So before we get started, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We praise you and we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to read your word. And Lord, we pray that your word would have its way in our lives and change our hearts, change our minds, change our lives. In Christ's name, amen. All right, guys, here we go. Luke 22, verse 54. Go ahead and grab your Bibles and let's get started. Today, I'll be reading out of the English Standard Version of the Bible, or the ESV. Verse 54, Peter denies Jesus. Then they seized him and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. And Peter was following at a distance. Let me stop right there. Peter was following at a distance. Guys, I can't stress enough how it's so important that we do not follow Jesus at a distance, but we follow him closely. We follow him closely because that is the only way to follow Jesus. You can't follow Jesus from a distance and expect to grow in your relationship with him. So follow him closely, but that comes at a cost. But I can tell you this much, it is willing. It is the cost is nowhere compared to the blessing that you'll get. Let's continue on verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat down among them. And then a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the light and looking closely at him, said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And a little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after an interval of about an hour, still another insisted, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're talking about." And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he said to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Jesus is mocked. Now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him as they beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And they said many other things against him, blaspheming him. Jesus before the council. When day came, the assembly of the elders of the people gathered together, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council, and they said, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe, and if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man shall be seated at the right hand of the power of God." So they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "You say that I am." Then they said, "What further testimony do we need? We have heard it ourselves from his own lips." Chapter 23, Jesus before Pilate. Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea and Galilee, even to this place." Jesus before Herod. When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him, and he was hoping to see some signs done by him. Here's a note there on that particular text. Herod wanted a sign, but he did not want Jesus. Think about that. Herod wanted to see Jesus. He desired to see Jesus because he had heard about him and he was hoping to see him do some sign. He was hoping to see some miracle done by Jesus. See, he wanted to see Jesus, but he wanted a sign, but he did not want Jesus. See, I pray that as you walk through this 52, that you would want Jesus, not you would want to finish your reading. Listen, that's important. But the most important thing is that you experience the saving power, never ending love of Christ, that you will experience that. Did you experience his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness? I pray that that's what you experience as you walk through this text, as you walk through 52. Let's continue on. Verse 9. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by vehemently accusing him. And Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Think about that. Think about that just for a minute. Then we just talked about how Herod, he had desired to see a sign performed by Jesus. But then when Jesus didn't perform a sign, he starts questioning him. He wanted an experience. He didn't want Jesus. And so now that he didn't get that experience, think about how he's treating our Savior, my Savior, your King, my King. He is treating him with contempt. He says at verse 11, and Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and they mocked him. Just previously, he wanted to see a miracle. Now he is mocking him. Let's continue. Then arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day. For before this, they had been at enmity with each other. Verse 13. Pilate then called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people and said to them, you brought me this man as one who is misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him. You know, on first read, you think that's very noble. But see, here Pilate is trying to, he is playing a middle ground. He is saying, look, I know that there is nothing against this man. Two officials have both said that there's nothing against that. Listen, there ain't nothing for y'all to be concerned with. So to please y'all, I'm going to punish him and I'm going to release him. See, he was playing the middle ground. See, listen, when it comes to following Christ, there is no middle ground. When it comes to following Christ, there is no middle ground. You're either all in or you're all out. There is no middle ground. You can't be one way on Sunday and another way on Monday. No, it don't work that way. If you're going to follow Christ, you need to follow Christ. Follow him. All right, let's continue on. Verse 18, but they all cried out together, away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. See, here he is. He's still playing that middle ground, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, crucify, crucify him. A third time he said to them, why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him. He's saying, guys, look, I found it. There ain't nothing he's done that's deserving death. So check this out. Just go with me on this. I'm going to punish him and then I'm going to release him. Again, he's playing this middle ground. But see, there is no middle ground when it comes to following Christ. He says, let's continue on. But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and that voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released a man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murderer, for whom they said, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. See, he gave them what they wanted. He finally gave them what they wanted. He gave in. See, there's no middle ground when it comes to following Jesus. Because see, the crowd's voice is louder than the Holy Spirit's voice. But don't always listen to the loud voice. And as they led him away, they seized him. One Simon of Cyrene was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will they do when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skulls, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is one of the last seven sayings of Jesus. Just put this in context. Think about everything Jesus has been through to this point. He's been betrayed. He's been wrongfully arrested. He's had a phony trial, and he has been beaten. He's been mocked, and now he's being led away to be crucified. And think about what he says. "Father, forgive them." Wow. Wow. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who was hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Again, that's one of the last seven sayings of Jesus. See, the man put his faith in Jesus. He put his faith in Jesus, and he was saved. The death of Jesus, verse 44. "It was now the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sunlight fell and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.'" Again, that's another one of those last sayings of Jesus. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus entrusted himself to his Father. "And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, 'Certainly, this man was innocent.' And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breast. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things." Verse 50. "Now there was a man named Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decisions and action, and he was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in a linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb cut in stone, where no one had ever been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment." Chapter 24, the resurrection. "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their face to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloth by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. On the road to Emmaus, verse 13, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had taken place. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleophas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and the word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us that they were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find the body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while we talked to us? I'm sorry. Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Jesus appears to his disciples. Verse 36. As they was talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. That is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy, And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I have spoken to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. Man, I have this underlined in my Bible, verse 45. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. Guys, if the Holy Spirit does not open our minds to understand the scripture, we are just reading words. That's why we call this the living word of God. Because, man, the Holy Spirit residing inside of you uses, illuminates, opens up the scriptures to you as you read. That's why it's so important to read God's word. Let's continue on. He said, verse 45, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day arise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" The ascension, verse 50. "And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God." The Gospel according to John. Before we jump into the Gospel according to John, I think it's important to realize that around 92% of the Gospel according to John is unique as compared to the other Gospels. John, the Gospel according to John, has distinct content, including different stories, teachings, and a unique perspective of Jesus' life and ministry. While it shares some elements of the other Gospels, John's Gospel presents material not found in the other Gospels, contributing to a distinctive theological and literary character that we'll find only in the Gospel according to John. So in John today, this is where we'll complete our reading. We're going to look at John chapter 1, verse 1 through 28. So let's get started here. All right. John chapter 1, verse 1. "The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 15, "John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we all receive grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known.'" I love that text where it says, "No one has ever seen God, the only God. No one has ever seen God." Verse 19, the testimony of John the Baptist. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you a prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the path of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Verse 24. Now they have been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. Now that'll complete our reading for today. Hey, here's one of the things that really just stuck out to me, and I'll say this and we'll close in prayer. But man, I love that verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the word logos," the word, see, it's capitalized there in your Bible. "In the beginning was the word," the Greek word there is logos, "and the word logos was with God, and the word logos was God." Just talking about Jesus there. So I have that highlighted in my Bible. And so I pray today to speak to your heart. Well, guys, we completed the Gospel according to Luke. We started in the Gospel according to John. So we'll continue on that. Man, I pray that the Lord's word is speaking to you, and I pray that you're getting some out of it. So let's close in prayer. Father, we love you, praise you, and thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. And I thank you for your word in Christ's name. Hey, guys, remember to check on your accountability, check on your group, check on your accountability partner, and also, man, be sure to answer those questions there that the student team has for you on the website. God bless you. Have a great day.